From NPR News in Washington, I'm Barbara Klein. Floodwaters in Pakistan are moving south through Sindh province, where the Indus River is rising. An estimated 150,000 people have moved to higher ground. Meanwhile, the International Monetary Fund holds meetings on the flooding Monday. From Islamabad, the BBC's Mike Wooldridge reports the IMF will try to address the massive economic challenge Pakistan now faces.
The economic impact of this disaster is already becoming apparent in higher prices for some foods because of disruption to supply routes and in concerns about higher inflation and lower growth. The extensive damage to crops, to irrigation and other infrastructure of the agricultural industry is another heavy blow because this is such an important part of the economy. It's another sign of international concern about the huge long-term costs of recovery from the disaster and of the consequences if Pakistan's economy is left weaker.
The BBC's Mike Wooldridge in Islamabad. Russia is claiming a major victory in its battle with Muslim insurgents in the North Caucasus. From Moscow, Peter Van Dyke reports the country's counterterrorism committee today announced the death of a militant leader accused of leading several attacks.
The National Anti-Terrorism Committee said Magomed Ali Vagabov was killed this morning along with four other militants during a special operation in Dagestan. He was reportedly the second most powerful member of the Islamic militant hierarchy behind Doku Umarov. The committee said militants under his command had carried out dozens of attacks in the North Caucasus and he had organized the Moscow subway bombings. One of the suicide bombers, a young woman from Dagestan, was reportedly Vagabov's wife. The anti-terrorism committee said he studied in Pakistan and was an active recruiter of young men to the militant cause. Russia has been fighting Islamic separatists in the North Caucasus since the First Chechen War in the 1990s. For NPR News, I'm Peter Van Dyke in Moscow.
The woman forced to resign from the Agriculture Department last month after a conservative blogger posted her comments out of context may be in line for a new job. NPR's Laura Seidel reports Shirley Sherrod says she'll meet with Agriculture Secretary Dom Vilsack on Tuesday to discuss a new offer.
Sherrod, who is African American, gave a speech last March in which she talked about how she once didn't want to help a farmer because he was white. She went on to say that she'd overcome her prejudice and gone on to help him. But her remarks were taken out of context by conservative blogger Andrew Breitbart. Without looking at the context of her remarks, the White House condemned her and the Agricultural Department asked her to resign. They've since apologized to Sherrod, but initially she resisted offers of a new position in the USDA. However, Sherrod has said she has no negative feelings about President Obama or the NAACP. She shared a stage on Saturday with Ben Jealous, the executive director of the NAACP. Laura Seidel, NPR News, San Francisco.
This is NPR. Iran's first nuclear reactor is being loaded with fuel. Iranian and Russian engineers transferred fuel rods into the Bushehr nuclear plant today. Russia, which helped build the facility, says it'll guarantee spent nuclear fuel is not used in a weapons program. The U.S. and other Western countries say Iran's insistence on enriching uranium suggests Tehran is trying to acquire nuclear weapons. Iran says the plant will be used to generate electricity, which it's expected to do in the coming weeks. A judge in Saudi Arabia reportedly wants doctors to cut the spinal cord of a man found guilty of paralyzing an opponent in a fight. As Larry Miller reports from London, Amnesty International is protesting the punishment, calling it torture.
Amnesty says it urges Saudi authorities not to carry out the punishment and that intentionally paralyzing a man would breach the country's human rights obligations. The London-based group says the man has already been sentenced to 7 months' imprisonment. The brother of the victim told the Associated Press the injury happened in a fight involving a meat cleaver. The victim asked a judge to impose an equivalent punishment, which is an option under Islamic law. Amnesty says this is the first time it's heard of a punishment involving the damaging of a spinal cord, but 5 years ago, a convicted man had his teeth extracted. Amnesty says there have also been cases of people blinded by judicial order. For NPR News, I'm Larry Miller in London.
Today's election in Australia is too close to call. Australian officials say it could take more than a week to determine the winner. Prime Minister Julia Gillard, the country's first female leader, says she'll head a caretaker government. I'm Barbara Klein, NPR News in Washington.